Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
The first quarter was rather good for Singaporean banks, and all of the big three, DBS, UOB, and OCBC, reported decent gains in terms of their bottom lines. Let's take a closer look at these report cards. Joining us today is Krishna Guha. He's the vice president over at Jefferies to give us a better idea of how well the banks here actually did and what are the challenges and opportunities facing them in the coming quarters. Krishna, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
You've probably spent the last couple of days poring through the various earnings releases from the big three. Just a quick recap, DBS growing by about 9%, UOB growing by 8%, OCBC seeing their bottom line grow by 11%. Give us an idea of what stood out for you from the reports, and who do you think stood out the most from the big three in this recent earnings season?
So yeah, I think clearly the three banks have reported solid first quarter, and it was sort of a reversal from what has been a bit of a disappointing set of numbers in the fourth quarter last year. And as you pointed out, OCBC has stood out among the three by reporting about 11% growth year on year and 33% quarter on quarter. But I think beyond those numbers, in my view, all three had similar operating trends. So you see a normalization of market linked income on the sequential basis. And then if you look at through the year, then there were growth in business volumes and margins. CBC clearly had a better margin expansion, but then they also had a higher reported credit cost. So I think it was a good set of numbers, and these came before the various tweets came on the trade front. So we look forward to see what happens in second quarter and for the second half of the year.
I'm glad you brought up trading gains there, Krishna, because what stood out for me when I looked at some of the reports, especially for UOB and OCBC, is that they both reported significant gains in their trading income. As you know, over the last couple of quarters, a lot of the banks have been bemoaning the decline in trading income because of all this market volatility. Given the fact that two of Singapore's largest banks reported gains in trading income, are there signs that market operations and market-facing operations and activities at the banks and financial institutions are starting to actually get better? And is this a sustainable pickup in this particular business unit?
So I think, yes, I mean, both the banks have shown improvement. It's not just one quarter or this quarter phenomenon. If you look through the years, then banks have been able to grow their sort of quarterly run rate of trading income. And they have given various commentary about it. And it's primarily resulting from them expanding the risk book and taking a bit more of active market making positions. It is also driven by the fact that the more customer flows are coming to these banks as global majors are rationing the capital for trading-based activities in this part of the world. So it is a good thing for the banks, and we are pleased to see all three of them improving their trading revenues.
All right.
On a sustainable basis.
The one thing that stood out when you look at DBS's report is that they are going to start declaring dividends on a quarterly basis. How sustainable is this decision to declare dividends on a quarterly basis now?
Okay, so I think there are two parts of it. One is the dividend quantum and then the frequency of payout. Yes, the frequency of payout has become quarterly. In my view, I think the $1.20 dividend is quite sustainable, where the capital is, how much of profits they are generating. So I do not see any reasons of why the $1.20 cannot be sustainable. In terms of whether the quarterly payout is a bold move, I would tend to think that management has done the mechanics of paying out, and I don't see any reason for concern on why that should not be sustainable one.
Moving forward, though, there are a couple of things that have changed in the landscape for banking, Krishna. You know, we have seen the trade tensions between China and the U.S. start to ratchet. There are still pervading concerns that growth is starting to slow down in major economies. From a standpoint of an analyst looking at the banking sector, what are some of the big challenges facing Singapore's three biggest banks moving forward?
So I think you mentioned the two clearly upfront. One is this whole evolving narrative on the trade. And as I've said, that Singapore is reliant on trade, and trade is about 3 to 4 times the GDP. So Singapore banks will be impacted, and in my view, it will be more of a top-line impact. Now, having said that, these banks have other levers, for example, their expense and the credit cost, to kind of mitigate the impact from the top line. And they also have good capitalization to sustain their dividend payout. So, yes, I mean, trade tensions will be a headline issue, but if you look at the bottom line and what comes to the shareholders, there are means and ways by which these things can be mitigated. So that is on the trade. Beyond that, I think in terms of the core drivers, if the business volumes expand a bit slowly, and then because of slowing growth, if the baseline interest rate does not improve, then there will be some issues on the growing net interest income as well. But then if you see, these three banks have gone through better part of this decade through a period when base interest rate didn't change. But still they were able to grow revenues. So these banks do have other levers, for example, the non-interest income, by which they can grow their overall revenue. One point which I wanted to highlight on the trade itself is that if you see, the trade discussion started about late 2017. So we have at least 1 year, 2018, to see how these banks have improved. And if you go to their pre-provision operating profit, which is basically their income less expense before the credit costs, then these banks, combine all the three, they have grown by about mid-single digit for 2018. So we need to put this thing in perspective and see that what are the capabilities for these banks.
We're still speaking to Krishna Guha over at Jefferies. He's helping us parse through the various report cards of the big three banks here in Singapore. Krishna, I want to talk about another risk that some are starting to get a little worried about. It's a slowing home loans. We have seen all of these banks have also highlighted that as perhaps one of those weak spots in their reports. How big of a risk is this at the moment? And how should investors probably read into some of these warning signs that the big three have raised?
Clearly, it is a topical theme, and slowing home loans is always a topic of discussion. Now, I will see home loans as a part of broader business volumes. They may see a slowing home loans, but are there like compensation from, say, building and construction, for example? So currently, I think, yes, because of where the mortgage interest rates, mortgage rates are, and then you have the new cooling measures coming up from the government. So market is slow, and therefore the home loans are also slowing. But I won't be too concerned with it because, as long as the banks make a good decision in terms of risk-adjusted returns, and they are willing to cede a bit of a market share to the foreigners, but overall they are still in the game, then it is not too much of a concern. Yes, there will be some slowdown in terms of top-line revenue, but there can be growth, as I mentioned, in other areas, for example, in building and construction.
All right. And Krishna, we have spent a bit of time talking about the risks that these banks might be facing. What about opportunities? What kind of bright spots might there be for the banking industry moving forward from where Jefferies is sitting?
So I think if you look at the organic operations, then as I mentioned, that these banks have a decent capitalization and they are organically growing capital, which is always good for shareholders, both for in terms of growing their payouts or at least having the ability to do so. And it also, this is an uncertain environment, so it can also give the banks opportunities to grow inorganically if opportunities come across. So I wanted to have view that what they are growing at and how much they are willing to pay. So those are the key opportunities for the three banks.
And finally, Krishna, just very quickly, I know the banks have been doing quite well in the first quarter, but if a cash-strapped retail investor were to come to you and say, Krishna, I'd like to get out of the bank, I've only got room for one of them in my portfolio, which one would you recommend?
Well, I think all three have different I think DBS before this sell-off had run up quite a bit. If you look at valuations currently, if you look at the 2019 multiple on the consensus, then clearly I think UOB and OCBC are a bit cheaper than DBS. So I think just on valuation front, those are the ones which I will run with. But then if you are looking at a yield-focused sort of investor and you pay within, obviously, dividend on the yield itself, then DBS stacks up better.
All right. Krishna Guha from Jefferies, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, giving us a closer look at the decent report cards that the big three have reported in the first quarter.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.